Hey there, folks. You're listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 62. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandawai is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards Rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandawai is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawaiusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawaiusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Tonga Hut. Opened in 1958, the Tonga Hut in North Hollywood is LA's oldest continuously run tiki bar. With locations in both North Hollywood and Palm Springs, California, the Tonga Hut serves classic tiki cocktails in a classic tiki setting. Dine in a secret tiki hideaway or learn about rum and rum history at one of their educational seminars. And if you're up to the challenge, take the journey to join the Loyal Order of Drooling Bastards. For information on events, Rum Rum Club, and more, go to TongaHut.com or find them on Facebook or Instagram. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crested mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit RoyalHawaiianLB.com. On this episode, we make a visit to Frogtown Brewery. Frogtown Brewery was founded just over 1 year ago by homebrewers Adam Kestel, Mike Voss, and business partner Gustavo Rojas. If you're a homebrewer who's thought about taking it to the next level and opening a tasting room, or you just enjoy the art of craft beer brewing, then this episode is made specifically for you. We talk to Adam, Mike, and Gus about what it was like to take their hobby and turn it into a business. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. This podcast is a grassroots effort and does not survive without the help of our sponsors or our listeners. So if you'd like to help, go to DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, let's do this. Recorded live from Frogtown Brewery, here's my conversation with Adam, Mike, and Gus. Test 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3. You guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, listen to that radio voice.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to the show.
It's got the voice.
Right.
First caller.
Yeah, with a golden voice between Mike and I.
I know, seriously.
The voice of Desert Oasis.
Oh, then we got Gus in here.
Yes, so Gustavo. Thanks for chiming in.
You guys can adjust those however you'd like. Alrighty then.
Testes.
I was going to say we all like testes, but I
some of us more than others.
I like
no
one set.
No
just the one.
Just your own, yeah, right? Yeah. Well, hey, guys. Thanks for doing this with me.
Thank you for coming in. We appreciate your time.
I always love coming down here to Frogtown. You know, like, I'm always bummed out when you guys don't have this pumpkin beer. Because it's a seasonal thing, right?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's a crowd favorite.
So I was talking with somebody about that. How come we're only allowed to eat pumpkin during the wintertime?
It's a thing, you know. I've tried it in the summer. It just didn't take.
Okay.
I think it's the combination of, like, the warming spices you get from the pumpkin, you know. So I think that's more of a winter feel for me.
Or is it because pumpkins aren't in season any other time of year? Or could that be it?
You could totally grow pumpkins year-round.
Well, yeah, because we live in the modern world. There's no such thing as like a lime season anymore.
Yeah.
Or a strawberry season or peach season. We can have those fruits year round now.
Yep.
Yeah, ship them. You know, fly them in.
Right.
In LA specifically, it's a dietary thing. So in the winter, the folks like to go a little lighter on their diet, so they start eating pumpkin, alamode, etc.
I didn't know that about you, Gustavo.
But I do. I try to stay svelte.
That's what I was going to say.
You look fit.
That's how you maintain that girlish figure.
I do. That and a waist cincher.
I think that everybody that enjoys the brewery wants to know how it got started.
It basically all started with Adam several years ago, and he sort of changed locations from Chicago to here, and he was kind of kicking around the idea before, right?
I guess I can tell my own story.
I'll do it. But
yeah, you were doing great.
But this is the part where the story gets embellished.
Right. Yeah, I'll keep him honest.
One thing about Adam, he does like to talk in a third person. So
that's right. Just a heads up. So Adam's story. I started homebrewing about 10 years ago. I made some really, really bad beer, but I got through it. And I moved out to LA about 5 years ago, and Mike's a good friend of mine from back in Chicago. He moved out here a couple of years before me.
Okay.
And we got together and just kind of started brewing on his deck. So I was kicking around starting a brewery back in Chicago, but nothing serious. But
so you were brewing outside? Not even in the garage or a kitchen or anything?
This is Los Angeles.
In LA, we were brewing on Mike's deck.
But I'm thinking
under a live
oak
tree.
You know, maybe I'm just thinking about it in the wrong way. I mean, people cook outside, sure, I guess. So maybe I'm answering my own question. But you didn't have to worry about, sterilization or anything like that? Is that
No, we still don't.
Several times we'd be in mid-boil, and one of us would notice, was that an acorn that just fell in? Because I want to know how big it was. I want to know how many there were, because if this is a good beer...
Oh, yeah.
We've got to put another acorn in it, you know? But it wasn't too bad. We were brewing on a deck that's, covered by a really large California live oak.
Okay.
And so for the most part it was really great because we can hose the entire place off. So it doesn't matter if we make a mess out there. So that was nice. Sanitization is not really a concern because the whole process goes to the point of boil. So
it just kills off whatever.
Yeah. Sanitation is really only important when you're doing the fermentation process.
I've been told by other, I have friends that are home brewers, right? We all know a home brewer. It's a little bit of a science project, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are, one of the guys that I know, that he's in a brewing club, and he brought some beer that he brewed to my house when we recorded a podcast. And he said, this is the first time I'm trying it. And so he opened it up and it fizzed and he was like, that's a good sign. And so he was actually pretty excited about it. And he took a sip and he said, yeah, it came out good. And I said, you sound like you didn't expect it to come out good. And he said, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes he says it's kind of a hit and miss sometimes.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things about recipe formulation is it's not like baking a cake where you get the results a couple hours later.
See, that's what I was going to say. Isn't it just a recipe that you follow?
Yeah, we make our own recipes in-house, so I do most of the recipe creation here for Frogtown, and it is difficult. We'll do pilot batches, so we'll do small batches. We won't just start on a big batch with a new recipe. Sometimes. We've done it. But
sometimes we'll just go for it.
Yeah, we'll just roll up the dice and go for it. But it's a hard thing to come up with, because if you want to make a change on a recipe, you don't know what that change is going to taste like for a minimum of 2 weeks after you make it.
Oh, 2 weeks. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of lag time there.
A minimum of 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so
minimum.
Up to 4 weeks sometimes.
Usually closer to four. So.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you come up with those different recipes? I mean, are you doing the Willy Wonka thing and you're just kind of...
A little bit, yeah. It's 10 years of experience. I know this is going to work. I know this won't work. And so then it's how can we stretch those boundaries a little bit? And what can we do fun with the different ingredients that we have and are available to us? And so we just kind of pick and choose those ingredients and put together a recipe that we think is going to taste good. And then we'll make a pilot batch. If it is good, we'll make it for the public.
So how much of the – I'm curious, if you wanted to experiment with something, how much does that cost?
To do a pilot batch for us isn't that expensive. It's under $100 to do a small pilot
batch.
Yeah, we're talking 5 gallons or so.
That's less than I thought.
Yeah, it's more the time that it takes to do it. A whole brew session will take us, 7 hours. So for us to put together a 7-hour brew for a really small batch of beer is that is the painful thing.
Right, right. Because I come from more of the cocktail side, right? If I want to make up a drink, there are formulas that you can use. Just like you said, you use a little bit of experience. You know kind of what tastes good with what, and you know what won't work and what will probably work. But if I'm dumping a drink because I make a drink and I don't like it, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Because you just feel like, oh, I wasted whatever rums were in that, whatever other ingredients were in that.
You're taking like one last sip. Oh, I'll try it one more time. It's probably
just
okay.
Like power it down.
Yeah. Just like, what about just a little bit more of this? Maybe it'll make it better.
Take one for the team.
Shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right.
We've been doing it for quite some time, so we don't have to dump many batches, but we've had to before. So
when you started this brewery, were you making all the stuff that you already knew how to make? Or
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had like maybe 7 to 15 recipes that we really liked. But I mean, I had 40 gallons of beer on tap at our little Tree Fort brewery that we had. So we had people coming through and trying our beers, and
I like that Tree Fort brewery. You got shirts?
We almost did.
Right?
It was one
seriously,
of the
that's actually kind of a cool name.
It's cool, yeah.
Tree Fort Barefoot. I used to brew Barefoot all the time. It's my house, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those interesting things that I think maybe we're the only brewery that started literally brewing under a tree one day.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably start in their garage or whatever, but yeah, I think we're probably rare in that.
In the bathtub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But we literally had no idea what we were doing in transitioning from a home brewer to a pro brewer. So we have been just figuring shit out since day one. And that's the most important thing to keep in mind, because a lot of people will talk about, oh, you guys are living the dream. You're doing it. Like, no, this has been a struggle every day.
It's funny is that when people look in from the outside, maybe that's a good thing, that maybe they think that you're living the dream, because it shows that you're doing something right, right? You guys are polished, that people like the product, and it doesn't look like this rinky-dink thing where you're just, you know, cobbling together whatever this product is that you're trying to produce, that you look like the real deal. So, but, I mean, along that line, how different was it when you started doing this as a commercial endeavor versus a personal hobby?
Impossibly different. I mean,
yeah,
there nothing is
just
is
the thought of like scaling up is already changes things, right? Because if you're making a pie, right, whatever those ingredients are, and sometimes, you know, like grandma makes a pie off the top of her head, she doesn't measure anything. You know, sometime when you scale it up, it changes the way that it tastes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So we've had to scale our recipes. So we've scaled them up, and there are some tweaks we can do to make them, to go from that homebrew size to production brewery size. So that is a challenge, and you're constantly adjusting it, not only because of the scaling, but also because of the ingredients. The ingredients change. It's a crop, right? So hops are a crop. Barley is a crop.
Oh.
And so those change year to year, just like wine.
And that
grapes,
affects the taste.
That affects affects the taste of the beer for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So we try and adjust for those seasonal changes with the ingredients as well.
But, you know, I was talking to you guys before we started recording. I'm more picky about the quality of the audio on my podcast than my listener is, right? So having said that, talking about your recipes, I mean, nobody complains about like, hey, this tastes different than before, right? Or you know, do they?
No, we haven't gotten like this.
And you're going to be more picky about that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. We obviously test every batch before we put it out in the tasting room. So we don't put something out that we don't improve. We just simply won't put it on tap if we don't like it or think it's too different from a previous batch. There is some changes there that happen batch to batch. They're very, very minor. But yeah, I mean, everybody's got a different palate, so people are going to like things differently. And so much of people's palate comes from what they ate before they had the beer, what beer they had before this one.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So those things change, and people interpret the beer differently. And so you get the ups and downs for all different types of beer.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. What mood they're in.
Yeah, everything.
Did you know that when you eat sushi, you know the reason why they give you ginger is you're supposed to cleanse your palate between the different types, right?
Yeah,
really.
So Yeah, I treat it like ketchup, though. I put it on top.
Right. Or I like, do the same thing. Right? I'm all over that ginger.
Exactly. Fresh bite every time.
Right? Yeah. So I guess along that line, right, yeah. The palate is going to be affected based on what they eat before while they see.
And they may or not understand that as well. So they're tasting a beer and they're like, wow, this is so much different than before. But they were just chewing double mint gum.
Right.
Like that's a big deal.
Right.
You know.
Right. Brushing your teeth and having a glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
The worst thing you could do.
Right. Orange juice tastes so much better when you have dirty teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Everyone knows. They should put that on the little box.
Drink with a dirty mouth.
Drink with a dirty mouth.
One of the beauties for me of this business and the craft business is the difference in the taste almost by design. So last year's Broken Vessel pumpkin ale versus this year's is, in my mind, different.
It's a little different.
I was going to say, this tastes different than what I had last year.
And that's good. That's great. That's exactly what it needs to be. I almost foresee it as a part of this experience, because if it's the same exact thing year to year...
You have Budweiser.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a major label, totally.
What's crazy to me is that, I mean, now there's so much good beer out there, and it wasn't always that way, you know?
Not as good as ours, but you're right.
Exactly.
Depends on who you ask.
But yeah. I mean, like, the whole brewery thing, the craft brewery, genre, field, whatever you want to call it, right? It's really taken off in the past decade.
Yeah.
Even the last couple of years we've been doing this. So one of our habits, I guess we'll say, is we, you know, most of the brew house is hand-built by the three of us, and we often bring in a sixer or a growler of something or a bomber of something to taste it, and we started off with like one or two. We have probably about 3 weeks' worth of craft beer that we have to get through.
Now, you do that for research.
Yeah, absolutely. That's super. It's paramount to our business.
I know people are laughing at that right now when they're listening to this. Like
market research.
It's a good kind of research.
Business development is what we call it.
Yeah.
Does it influence what you guys do?
It does. Yeah. I mean, if we try a new beer that we've never had before and we're like, holy shit, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, then we'll try if we have time in our brewing schedule to do something maybe that's similar. You know, we try it. I mean, we're not brewing because it's popular, but we're more brewing because, like, all right, I want to try that.
It's your passion.
Yeah,
right?
People always ask, like, what beers do you guys brew? What do you guys brew? What do you guys make? I'm like, we brew the beer that we like to drink.
Sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
If other people like it, great. And they seem to, so that's great.
So do what you guys brew, like, there are some, like, again, I'm going to come from the cocktail side. There are drinks that I like making more than I like drinking because they're easier to make. And then some of the drinks that I like, that I prefer, I'll take a little bit more craft to them, right? Is this the same thing with the beers, or is it all the same kind of process?
It's all a similar process, but there's certainly beers that are much harder than others. Like our Blonde Ale is probably the easiest beer for us to make. It's got a simple malt bill. It's got a simple hop bill. There's no dry hopping. It takes care of itself. So that is like our easy beer.
But it's also easy to drink, too.
It's also
good.
Easy to drink, yeah, so yeah. That, I mean, we love making it. But there's certainly beers that are much harder to make than that. So
our Belgian Triple is probably one of the more complicated beers, and I can't get enough of that. It's awesome. That's probably one of my favorite beers that we make. But you can take that and take a complicated beer, and then you can cask it. And mm-hmm. barrel age it, and then all of a sudden it's even more complicated, and that's the type of beer that I like, something that's a little bit aged and older, darker. That's more my style, so the more complicated the better for me.
Okay, so you actually do, you prefer a more complicated beer to brew and drink at, I mean, because that's what you enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
More so, work, more reward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I want to go back to when we were talking about the whole living the dream part.
Is that?
We're waiting for that day.
Yeah, what is that going to come?
People talk about this. What is that? What
you guys are small business owners.
Yes.
You know, like, I do this podcast, and I come here, and I'm sitting with you guys drinking beers, talking about brewing, right? Brewing beer. And people think that that's all the podcast is that like, oh man, you're living the dream, dude. Everywhere you go, you drink and you just you
free chat, tiki like, mugs.
This is the easy part. The easy part for me is this, all the back end stuff when I'm like, when I'm editing and I'm marketing and I'm looking for my next guest and I'm looking for my next sponsor and I'm trying to sell ad space, right? Mm-hmm. That's the real work, yeah. Right?
Yep.
So, I guess like the people see you here behind the counter pouring beers and handing them out and collecting money. Is it everything that you thought it was going to be? Or is it, I mean, like, do you see it now?
Doing this podcast is the easiest part of my week. I'll say
right.
that, I mean, as well.
So, exactly. Yeah.
This is Kate.
So we're all on the same page about that. Like, what we're doing yeah. right now, talking, is the easiest part. Yeah, it's yeah. the fun stuff.
Like, the brewery's open, first of all. So, like, our tasting room is open. We've made beer. It's available on tap. Like, that did not just happen overnight.
No.
You know,
No. I mean, like, everything's got to start with a plan, right? I mean, was there a learning curve?
Oh, that's all it was. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, we're still learning. yeah. We learn every day something new.
Yeah. A small thing will crop up, and it's like, if it's something that hasn't crossed our plate before, we inevitably want to tackle it no matter what it is, even if it, like, oh, never heard of this. Oh, we need a Form 17B Niner. Right. All right, let's do it.
After it,
let's do it.
So
for
no
idea what we're getting ourselves into.
For you guys, the easy part is the brewing.
Yeah, that's what we know and what we're comfortable mm-hmm. with. That's right. Certainly the easy part.
I remember when the early days of, well, I mean, it's only been a year, but when you guys were first getting started, you know, I've known Gus for a little bit, and I just remember all the headaches you guys were going through to get this place open.
Yeah, Adrian, you and I knew each other, it's about 3 years now. So
something
I think,
like that.
So I think you
and I just remember Gus was just like, one more month. We've got another month because of blah, 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 or some kind of inspection or some kind of...
You remember the smiling days before I got into, yeah. into this business.
The dark stuff, yeah.
No, yeah, same thing with friends and family, like, oh, when are you guys going to open? Oh, it should be next month. And then it's next month comes and goes.
Right.
And meanwhile, you know, Adam, myself, and Gustavo are on the phone at 2 a.m. I don't know what we're going to do. What do we do?
Right, you know, right.
Over and over again, just trying to solve these things as they come up. And we you know, Gustavo has some background in owning his own business and running his own business, and that was invaluable to us in this process. But, you know, Adam and I are total novices in this field, and it was really up to us to try and figure out, okay, we can't afford an architect, we can't afford a builder, a plumber, we can't afford somebody to turn the lights on in this place.
As most people who start a new small business, right. they're all in the same boat, right? That's just how it is.
Yeah. So how do we do it? And we just figured it out one step at a time.
Is this your first business then?
Yeah, first major yeah. business for me, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so wow, so that's a life changer then.
Yeah.
One of the benefits we have, though, is we all still have our day jobs,
okay.
Which I think allows us to take some risks.
Okay.
The biggest risk being Frogtown Brewery
yeah.
as a whole, but we also complement each other really well. Mike mentioned
Well, that was going to be part of it. It's like, are you guys still friends?
No,
or are you
absolutely.
Just pretending?
No, totally.
It actually worked. We opened
That's
this
awesome.
Business and
That's
we're still
awesome.
Friends.
We just celebrated Thanksgiving together. It was great. Yeah. It was awesome. It was at Adam's new house. It was a,
hey,
a great
congratulations.
Experience.
Thank you.
But, well, seriously, the brewery must be doing good if Adam's got a new house to.
Well, it's a tent.
Yeah,
okay. But he calls
it's
it a
tent
house.
On a hill.
Yeah. Home is where the heart
yeah.
is.
Right? That's right.
It's just Airstream on the front, but it's totally cool.
Yeah, I sleep most days at the brewery. Come on, let's be honest, guys.
Now, you know, like one of the things that fascinates me is, you know, when we're kids, we're asked like, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And sometimes someone says, "I want to be a fireman," and someone says, "I want to be an architect," and then they actually put those steps. You know, they walk down that path, and then they go to school for architecture, and then they take the exam, and they get licensed, and they start working as an architect, and then shazam, the universe deals them a hand, and then now they're running a daycare center, right?
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys ever think that you would become brewers and own a brewery? What do you guys do? I mean, I know what Gus does, so like, let's start with Gus. Let's tell our audience what you do for your regular full-time job.
My daytime job is voiceover work. I'm in real estate.
It's, what is it, 976?
Yeah, 976.
call Gus.
You steal my thunder now.
But I learned from Mike. That's how we know each other. From CD 976. So
they call in, and then you're like, "Hey, Mike, you take this one."
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going.
We got a hot one, Mike. Take that one, please.
Hey, baby. Hey.
So I'm in real estate. I've been in real estate for 12 and a half years, and of the 12 and a half, five of them have been as an owner of the company. And
oh, that's awesome.
This will be my third career. I started off, I've always been in the business side of things. I went to business school and worked corporate, as many folks who are small business owners have done. Corporate either.
I worked for the devil too.
Exactly, yeah, right. Yep. You're going down that path.
Yeah, did that for two decades, man.
Yep, you get it. So it either cuts your teeth and or makes you hate that lifestyle.
Yeah,
it did
yeah.
both for me, luckily. And I left, luckily, with a decent severance package, but just totally leaped into real estate because I had, I'd always had an interest in it, and I had been doing it as a weekend warrior. So I think that's one of the commonalities that three of us have is we have that weekend warrior mentality.
And that's how you guys met, right? They were clients.
Mike was a real estate client of mine.
Okay.
And, I showed up in one of my classic cars, and Mike and I became fast friends. I think he was, I think he had a crush on me. I'm just going to say it.
Had is not the right term.
It's the voice.
I just sent my voice and sold him the house.
He called me and we started talking, and it was just, can you just talk to me? Just tell me your life story right now.
Three beds, two baths, and don't forget the bonus.
And there's a bathtub in the shape of a heart.
Where you can homebrew.
We did all that. That's exactly the story.
That's it.
That's the story we're going with. Yeah.
Now what about you, Mike? What do you do for a living? What's your day job?
I work in the music industry.
Okay.
So I manage national digital media for massive company, which is really cool because, you know, tonight we're right after this, we're headed to Guns N' Roses.
Oh, how cool is that? Okay. I'm going to interrupt you real quick about Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
I know somebody who went last night.
Yeah.
In San Diego.
Right.
And it looks like the band is back together.
Oh, they're killing
it. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. Yeah. I saw them last year and they're killing it.
Okay, because I originally thought that, I thought they all hated each other. And
They probably do.
And then I heard that they got back together, but then I thought, well, that ain't going to last, you know? But and then so when I saw the photos that my buddy posted, I thought I was going to see the Buckethead guy, and I didn't. I saw Slash.
Yeah, they seem to have all their shit together, and they're fucking putting on an awesome show.
That's awesome.
It's 32 songs. It's a set list.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
They are the only... There's nobody opening for them. It's just show up, they're jam for, I was going to say, 19 hours, I think, show.
So let's see. What time's the show?
7:40. 7:40 is when they take the stage.
So Axel is probably going to show up around 10?
Yeah, we're going to leave here at like 9.
We're actually going to go pick him up first at the Denny's. He's at the Denny's in Hollywood.
Oh, check this out. This is what happens when we do a podcast with a couple brewery owners. They get beer automatically delivered while we're recording. We don't have to get up to go get them.
With that said, Adrian needs a fresh...
I'm still working on this, but I'll... If another one comes out, then I'll finish this one.
Excellent.
Telepathy.
Yeah, all right.
thank you, Hector.
Adrian, just think about it and it'll arrive.
All righty. So you manage digital music content?
Yeah, basically like 75 venues, all of the digital media that goes up on the screens.
Mm-hmm.
My team handles all of that, and we do creative services as well, so we create content. We go out and film and produce and all of that.
Digital media that goes up on the screens, what do you mean by that?
So any venue that you go to, they have big...
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Monitors, screens that show upcoming ads, upcoming shows.
Gotcha.
You know, content like that. The actual feeds that are showing the band. So the live feed that shows on the screens, we handle all that.
I have a quick story about that. When my son, he actually goes to UCLA now. And but I know Gus is a Trojan. But, I'm just kidding. I love Gus. Second this best. This is an ebony and ivory moment between a Trojan and a Bruin.
Totally.
But
well played.
When my son was 13 or something, he wanted to go to see. It was a Blink 182, Fallout Boy, and someone else. And I said, "Yeah, bring home the grades, and I'll take you to the show." And he brought home the grades, and I took him to the show. And they had this thing that if you text, like, you know, text to 7777 or whatever, it scrolls your message, right? And so he's furiously texting on his phone, and then he's staring at this thing, and it's scrolling across where those jumbo monitors that everybody can see.
Yeah.
Right?
Mike invented that.
Did you?
Not,
is that part of what you
not
did?
Not quite, but yes,
okay.
That is our...
So you know what I'm talking about. Yep. And then he's quiet. Then all of a sudden he starts having, "Dad, look, 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 there it is, there it is." And it says, "The Latino Filipino is in the house."
Nice. Awesome.
And I thought, awesome. Oh, dude, you should have told me ahead of time. I would have taken a picture. So he did it again on the next break.
Oh, nice.
And I got a photo of it that time. So it's kind of
that's
funny.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. We manage all those systems too.
Okay.
So that was probably us that day.
Oh, was it really?
Maybe.
It was at Verizon Amphitheater, and they were there for a couple of days, I think. It was a big show, because it was all these big-name bands.
Oh, yeah. So. It was probably us.
Pretty cool. Now, what about you, Adam?
So I have a degree in finance, actually, oddly enough. So right out of college, I started working for Edward Jones, doing
personal finance. Going all the way back.
Yeah, way back. Immediately did not use my finance degree and went into healthcare. So I do, my day job is in healthcare IT.
Oh, you're an IT guy.
Yeah.
What do you do in IT?
I'm a systems engineer. So I'm a team lead for a team, leading a healthcare team.
Prior to doing this podcast, I was an IT guy.
Oh, nice.
For almost 2 decades. Yeah, I was a telecom engineer. Yeah, I used to design and build call centers. So, yeah, I programmed all the...
Yeah, this, that was Gustavo. Business. That's what he did.
Oh, did you really?
I was on the business development side for AT&T.
Oh, interesting.
And a segment of it was the call center design. Yeah,
awesome. I used to design call centers because, you know, there was a time in the early 2000s where the company that I was working for was acquiring all their small competitors.
Yeah.
And as we were onboarding them to our systems, I was redesigning their call centers, and then I was programming all of the routing tables behind it. So I would record all of the menus and program all of the code, all of the screen pops, all of the basically everything, agent group routing, super group routing,
all those terms,
the reporting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, see, we did work for the devil.
We did, right? Absolutely.
I mean, it was good at the time, but, you know, over the course of the time that I was there, things change. You get new leaders, and then they fuck everything up, you know. I'll just be straight up about that. And then I eventually got laid off.
You know?
But, you know, I wanted to leave for a long time, but I wouldn't because I was too chicken.
Mm.
And they did that for me by laying me off. So
I see.
And because
that
of
made
that,
the decision easy.
Because of that, here we sit.
Wow, that's awesome.
Drinking beers and recording a podcast.
I think I just got a call from one of those places you set up. They were looking to, what was it?
The auto dialer?
Oh, I qualified for an energy, California energy control.
Oh, there you go.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks.
So, you know, knowing what you guys know today, I mean, you guys just celebrated 1 year. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to say,
thank you.
Congratulations on 1 year.
Yes.
It's
like 7 years for us.
Yeah.
Dog years. Like,
we've all aged about 7 years.
Dog years.
Exactly right. Yeah.
If you could do everything all over again and start all over again, what would you do different?
Not open.
Yeah, we would definitely open like a car shop. We would fix up old Porsches.
Yeah, probably something different. Yeah. No, I mean, it's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of headache, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's like we're all friends. We make a built-in stress reliever, right? So we make
right.
a great product. So at the end of the day, we just have a beer and have a cocktail and kind of de-stress about everything that's going on. But
sure.
I mean, Adam and I were literally doing hey man, you want to brew this weekend? Yeah, let's brew.
Yeah.
And we would hang out and brew beer. So we were doing this anyway. Now we just do it
you make money doing it.
And yeah,
make some money. Yeah.
Run this business.
Ignorance is bliss, though. The three of us were grossly unprepared for what
I thought I was prepared, yeah. But no.
No clue. Which is good, I think.
Yeah, we couldn't have done this without not knowing what we were getting ourselves into.
You know, I'm going to tell you, if I knew back then what I know today about this doing this whole podcast thing, I probably would have never done it.
Yeah.
And like you said, ignorance is bliss, right? If you don't know what you're jumping into,
sure,
you jump in with both feet. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh yeah, that was us.
And just to step in for a second, the industry that we're in is a great industry, just to talk about that for a second, because we're part of the LA Brewers Guild and they've been super supportive and helpful in us getting started in this venture, along with all the other breweries in the area. Like, we've reached out to several of them for advice and support. When we needed ingredients, when we needed help with a form, we needed XYZ.
Stupid questions that we had.
Just silly questions. They were, they welcomed us.
That's awesome to hear because, you know, what I've been told is that the craft brewery community is very helpful with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike the spirits community where the recipes are secret and people are trying to, they're competitors, right? They compete against each other. You don't feel that way with these other breweries? You don't feel like you're losing customers to maybe another brewery down the street? Or
doesn't exist, yeah.
I think we actually gain customers to some degree, right?
Because I think all ships rise with the tide in this industry, at least.
Yeah, the more breweries to a degree, but definitely we have, I think, a considerable amount of space left ahead of us in Los Angeles, but the more breweries that come to our city, the more it becomes a destination and a process, or not a process, but I guess just that, the destination to come and say, great, now in lieu of or in addition to, like, San Diego, for example,
right,
let's go to L.A. And instead of going to Hollywood Boulevard or Universal Studios, let's check out 10 breweries or whatever. So,
do you guys get brewery tours come through here?
Yeah.
We did early on, and we kind of don't have that anymore. But
before we were a brewery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had a couple come by before we were a brewery. Yeah, we've had a couple come by recently. We just had one come by.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we have brew tours that come by, and they hit local breweries. They bring a bus full of, 15 people, and they get a flight.
I don't know if it's a pro or a con for the three of us, is we like to do everything ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is probably a con.
It's a con.
But it's certainly officially. But for the first year, it was totally a pro because we had to. We didn't have the finances. The people would be shocked.
Well, when you get your hands dirty, that's when you start learning everything about your business. I truly believe that if you're going to be a small business owner, you have to be able to do every job that business requires. So whether it's beer tending or whether it's brewing or whether it's ordering or AP or HR, whatever it is, you got to be able to do all of it.
Yeah.
I
think all three of us have cleaned the toilet in our time here.
Yeah. Not only did we clean the toilet, but last Sunday I tore the toilet off of its hinges, and it was seriously clogged.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah, it was really something.
But back to the point about the touring, just to close that loop. We often want to do things ourselves because we think we can do it as good or better. So one thing we've talked about is creating our own regional tour. And back to the original point is the more breweries that are within Los Angeles and within our sort of five corridors, what I'll call it, along the LA River, the easier that will be for us or for someone to create that really robust tour, which is a little sporadic now.
Yeah. Well, when we started this business, we got our ABC license, and we were literally brewery number 12 in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right.
Which yeah, if, oh, you're kidding me.
If you look north and south.
God, it just seems like there's more than that.
There is
in LA proper.
In LA proper, yeah. In LA County, there's quite a bit. But I think there's 59 now or something like that.
Yeah.
But actually, in the city ourselves, we were brewery number 12.
Which wow. is insane. I mean, how many breweries are in San Diego?
San Diego's got, I think they're approaching 200 now. And
160 to 180, something like that, 190.
Yeah. So there's still room to grow here in LA, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. Or? San Francisco's got over 400.
Oh, wow.
Like San Francisco, it's a walking tour. You can hit 49 breweries within 3 miles.
it's crazy up there.
Now, you touched on something, Mike, about... you said something about, like, before this was a brewery, people were coming by here.
Yeah.
And I know what this place was before it was a brewery.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and then, not that kind of before, but yes.
Gustavo can talk about that.
Because Gus told me about this.
Yeah.
And so we got to share this story.
It's a good story.
This is a 21 and over, or 18 and over show, right? So we're good. We signed this lease for the space in... end of August, September of 2015.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. So but we had no clue what was here before. We just assumed it was a light manufacturing business, as most are.
Yeah, like everything around here.
Yeah, like most are in this region. So we were hanging out and doing much kind of like this, having beers and just contemplating the meaning of life and how we're going to build this business. We were kind of happy and scared at the same time. And
it was four walls, like nothing in here.
Just, four and cinder
block just three walls. Chairs. We're sitting three in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and probably a 12-pack of Pabst or something. But but we were just hanging out, drinking, trying to plan things out, and we got a pile of old mail that most new homeowners or new business owners get from the prior person. And there was something that was an envelope that stood out. It wasn't just a business form or junk mail. It was a handwritten envelope. So the guys are they're more well-mannered than I am. So I just grabbed it and started trying to open it. And the guy's like, no, it's not ours. And I'm like, oh, well, let me put it up to the light. And it was a check. And I put it closer to the light. And it was a personal check from Mr. John Smith out of like Wyoming or Wisconsin or something. The amount of the check was $268.47.
Something
real random. Yeah.
Very precise.
Very random. And we just kind of laughed and like, well, who would send a personal check? Like, who still does that?
Oh, dude, the beer service works for me too.
This is the beer
Oh,
the beer genie.
Thank you, Hector.
You've done amazing.
He's gonna get a Christmas bonus for sure.
We love you, Hector.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Hector. Appreciate
you should
it.
At least say hi.
Oh yeah, Hector, just
Hector.
Lean in and say hi.
Lean and say hi. That's Hector, everybody.
Perfect. You guys get to visit him the next time you join us at the tap room.
Yeah,
Frogtown Brewery, Gilroy Street.
Let's put the address out.
2931 Gilroy Street in the Elysian Valley Frogtown neighborhood, which is just off the 5 and the 2 freeways.
Right down the street from Dodger Stadium.
Right down, exactly right. Exactly right. So back to the story real quick. So we started laughing at someone even wrote a personal check and whatever. And then I looked, or one of us looked even closer and discovered that there was a memo, something written in the memo line of the check. And it said Vajankel. Sounded kind of funny, but still indifferent as to...
We all looked at each other like, this is a new, incredible word.
Okay. Right. We just
I'm laughing
funny.
Because I know what it means. Right. Only because Gus told me. Not because because I was a customer.
Never. Everyone's phone just came out.
Adrian and I have had a couple rum-fueled nights, so that's when the story came out.
Of course.
So, you know, we Googled that shit. And discovered the beauty that is the vajanka.
It wasn't for a few days. Like we
let it go. We're just like, whatever.
We're like, what is a vajanka?
We thought it was a cool word, and then we moved on to the next idea.
I forget who ended up looking it up, but...
I think it was me.
And then a group text ensued.
I was like, everyone, right now... Get your phones out. Google Vajankel. Click on images. Google Vajankel.
Vajankel with a G, not a J. Am I right?
It's a G, yeah.
It's a G. Believe
it's a G, yeah. Yes, yes, it's for sure a G. Yep. Yeah. So, listeners, please
What I've learned from this story is, and I already knew this, I knew that
America is a beautiful place.
I knew that there was a fetish for everything.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't know there was a fetish for that. I didn't even know that fucking existed.
Oh, yeah.
But now I know it existed, and it proves that there is a fetish for everything.
Absolutely.
I think it's their most popular item.
It's got to be.
One of, yeah. It's their wheelhouse.
And it's like it's almost $300.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean,
$268.47.
I mean,
did you send them back some beer with that check?
I actually wanted to frame it, but like I said, the guys are well mannered, and they actually sent it back.
I think you'd be breaking the law if you opened it.
We didn't open it. We sent it back.
Yeah, you can't open it.
No mail fraud.
Right, mail fraud. What's that?
That's awesome.
In my country.
Yes.
Well, with that, I want to say thank you to Frogtown Brewery for letting me come down and record with you guys.
Awesome,
and
thank you.
And having some of this great beer. Before we wrap things up, what is the future of Frogtown?
That is a good question. We're actually next few weeks.
I think next week things are happening big here.
We're doubling our capacity. We're doubling our fermentation space. It is going to be kind of crazy, something that we have been sort of kicking around and just decided to go for it because we have no idea. Again, we have no idea what we're doing, so we're just trying to do the best we can as things come up. So we're going from a 7-barrel brew house to a 15-barrel brew house.
Oh, wow.
And then we're adding 30 barrels of fermentation space and then probably 120 barrels to follow in the next few months.
Yeah,
holy moly.
Put a bit more on order. So, yeah, we're going to try and keep up with demand, which unfortunately we're not able to do right now. So we've got a lot of people who would like to have our beer in their bars and restaurants, and we barely make enough now to support our tasting room. So hopefully we'll be able to reach out to some more customers and get that beer out there.
So ramping up to get the beer out there.
Yep.
I know that you guys are putting beer in cans now.
Yeah.
We are.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, so we're gonna do some more of that too. So we've got some new things coming out with that. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, we'll have a new can release. I'm not gonna announce what that is yet.
It's gonna be good though.
It's gonna be good. Yeah. Keep an eye out for that.
Let me actually, if I can, piggyback on that. I think you asked a very important question. So what's in the future for Frogtown? I want to take the brewery out of it, and one of the reasons we're here is the location was. I think perfect for us because it blended a proximity to downtown Hollywood, Los Feliz, Silver Lake, but it also gave us an ability to be present in a neighborhood that has had very little attention in a number of years, and the attention did receive for other years was not the best. So I personally am pleased with the progress of our placement within it. And how...
I think you guys, you know, like when you see some of these areas that are blighted, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, and then they start getting, you know, I hate to use the word gentrified, but when they start getting cleaned up and you start getting like some real decent quality businesses in there, sometimes it's not until you have a number of those businesses in there and the property values have gone up before you realize, oh, I need to get in there.
Sure.
You guys kind of had a crystal ball with this whole Frogtown area because now Frogtown is actually starting to be like the next kind of cool thing. Kind of cool place.
So. Yeah, we were at the right time, right place, a little bit of luck, and a really good real estate agent.
he was good.
He's great.
He's awesome.
Other than that, all kidding aside, I think we've all, the three of us, distinctly have made an effort to make an impact much of which is still to be done, but make an impact with the neighborhood because we understand that the delicate balance between things improving and things changing,
right.
and being out of reach for some people. Adam and Mike are transplants to LA. I was born and raised here, so I think that I sort of carry that torch a little more. But all three of us were really respectful of that, and other business owners and homeowners, or not even homeowners, residents of the area, I should say, are very welcoming to us. That's been a pleasant surprise because many of the folks prior to us that we were sort of Leading Edge, the folks who are Bleeding Edge, they were scared about the development of any new businesses because of how folks would receive us. But so far, so good, and we definitely want to contribute even more to the area.
Well, I want to obviously give you guys my endorsement. I've never really had a favorite brewery until now. I've got that with Frogtown.
Love it, man.
I love the brewery. I love the vibe. I love, obviously, the owners. I love the beer.
Cool.
So I want to encourage everybody that's in the LA area, or if you're coming to LA, come to Frogtown Brewery.
Yep.
Let's let everybody know where you guys are located. I know you just gave the address. Let's do that again.
2931 Gilroy Street. We are where the 5 and the 2 freeways meet in Los Angeles, right off the LA River. We are close to Glendale, Cypress Park, Highland Park, downtown Dodger Stadium.
And the website, frogtownbrewery.com?
That's it.
frogtownbrewery.com.
And that's right.
If I may be so bold and exactly as we normally do, we just do things and then ask for acceptance later. For all you dedicated Desert Oasis listeners, the first 5 listeners to come and visit us in the tap room, we'll get a free pint. So
look forward
to the Desert Oasis moniker on our
beer for friends
board.
You have to mention Desert Oasis from though. Don't just come in here and say, "Hey, I heard on the podcast," and then you know what podcast are you listening? Oh, I don't remember, but
you've got to say.
But they said,
"What's the secret word?"
They said you'd give me free beer.
You got to say Jenkel.
Yeah, exactly. You got to say Desert Oasis Room /
Thank you, Gus. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that you tied in the Desert Oasis Room with the Vajangle.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I appreciate the promo. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You've got a
home
here.
Listeners, if you guys have any chance, like if you're in the LA area and you've got like, you know, a couple hours to spare and have a great beer and hang out in a cool spot, come down to Frogtown Brewery.
Absolutely.
Wednesday
through Sunday, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Closed Monday and Tuesdays.
What are your hours, Wednesday through Sunday?
Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 10, and then Saturday, Sunday, noon, and we close at 10 p.m. on Saturday, 8 p.m. on Sunday.
And then what I also like what you guys do on the frogtownbrewery.com website is if you click on events, it shows which food trucks are going to be here on which days.
Yep. Yeah.
That's pretty cool because, you know, the food truck culture is big here in L.A., and there's some really great food trucks, and they come here too.
We're about to have some French dip in a second here.
That's right. Yeah, I've been watching their progress.
the truck is set up outside. And then also, probably most importantly, please follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right.
Instagram.
At Frogtown Beer has all the latest info, hours, food service.
Can release beer releases.
Also a list of our current small distribution. We're self-distributed, so we do everything ourselves. Adam and Mike just came back from a Hollywood delivery. And they did some beer as well.
Pretty cool. All right, listeners, support small businesses. Frogtown Brewery is one of the good guys.
Absolutely, so, and keep listening to Insane Desert Oasis.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being on the show, you guys. I appreciate it. I appreciate the beer. I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you guys do here. So, listeners, if you guys have questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout-out, if you have any questions for the guys here at Frogtown Brewery, hit us up on Facebook. We have a group page called Inside the Desert Oasis Room. Excellent. Hit us up on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. Or, better yet, go to the Frogtown Brewery Instagram page at Frogtown Beer.
At Frogtown Beer, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Cheers there.
Cheers, everyone. Guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Good to the last drop.
All right. Time to go to Guns N' Roses.
Let's do it. Rock on.